The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does settle in your soul.
It does settle in your soul.
Good morning, everyone. This is Terry Raposa and my partner,
Wynn Carpenter.
Is that your name?
It is.
It is.
It is.
We're broadcasting live from downtown Ready, KCNR Studios.
The belly of the beast.
It is. And 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better.
When it works.
And 1460 AM, your talk radio. And normally, you can go to KCNR1460.com and listen and watch, but we have a little issue, don't we, Ashley?
Yes. We are aware that the website is down, but it has been sent to all of the powers that be, and they've been working on it for about an hour now. So I'm hoping we'll have it up anytime soon.
Is that including the internet within the building?
No. Internet within the building is up and running and fine.
Okay, because I don't have any service on that trying to do the chat and get into the
chat
room.
Yeah, the chat room is part of the website, which is down currently.
Okay, good. So I'm excused for the day. Okay,
yeah, that might be a blessing. One other quick question about that. This will be archived, and they'll be able to get it on the audio, correct?
Yeah, we are sending audio which from this room that I'm currently in, which goes to both the website and the archive machine. That is working fine. So
great.
The archive machine should be working fine as
okay.
well.
And then once it's archived and the website is up,
then they can come back and listen if they're only digital, in which case they're not probably listening right now.
There you go. They won't know until later, right?
Yep.
Anyway, this Tuesday, folks, we have a supervisors meeting Tuesday at 9 a.m., and there will be the swearing-in of Tim Garmon for District 2, and they'll have to pick a new chairman.
And vice chair, yeah.
And a vice chair, huh?
They'll have to do that. Yep.
So we'll see how that all shakes out. So we will have a new supervisor. And talking about elections and talking about supervisors, we're here with Kimberly Vollmer, who is running for District 1. How are you, Kimberly?
I'm great. Thank you.
Great. Okay, well. Who is Kimberly Vollmer?
Vollmers.
Did I add the S?
There's an S on there.
There always has been, huh?
Yes. I'm good. I am excited to be here, and thank you for having me also, both of you. I am a mom, and I'm a wife, and I homeschool my daughters, and I have four kids, and each one of them is Vesper, Pepper, Ingrid, and Astrid, and they're all 8 and under.
Oh, wow. Hands are full.
Yeah. In the best kind of way.
Good.
Yep. And I'm here because you all are giving me the opportunity to share why I'm running for supervisor for District 1.
Love to hear it.
Oh, you're ready? I'm ready now?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Whenever you're ready, we're ready.
Your intro
party.
Was quick. You were quick. I thought you were doing like a round of announcements. All right.
No, it's your party.
Awesome. Well, I grew up in Reading, and I love the city, and I grew up in Enterprise area. And surprisingly, actually, I still live in Enterprise area. And, you know, the redistricting that recently happened, it splits right kind of at Hartnell. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that, to me, this city has raised me and this county has raised me. So a lot of who I am is little parts of it that most people might see a building. They might see, like, a park. And to me, it's who I am. My childhood and part of who I am as an adult. And so I think that a lot of people who live here feel the same way, and they want the same for their kids. So when you look down the street and you see kids riding their bikes and parts of childhood that tend to whittle away when there's not safety. And there was a time in my 20s when I lived in Los Angeles, and when I would come home to visit to Reading, I would see kids riding their bikes and just like, oh,
melt your heart. Huh?
That is childhood.
Yes.
How do you have kids not like running in the creek and open fields of land and things that kids can do where they're actually safe?
Right.
And so it's so important to me to have access to parks and land and things that allow kids to be free and have that opportunity to grow up in an environment like that. So to me, things like that, preserving nature that we have around us, paying attention to how funds are used for that and allocated for that, paying attention to the way that we utilize funds from the state and federally for fire and things like that to protect everything around us. It's so essential to me. And watching as time has gone on, growing up here, the shift in homelessness and understanding the elements that impact that for mental health and drug addiction and all of the elements that go into what we see increase the transient population in our environment here, is all part of how the city functions. And although there's no one-shot answer, there's definitely ways that could be improved to handle that and those elements. And then, as I said, the safety issue. There have been times when I lived in Los Angeles and I would say I felt safer there than here. Mm-hmm. To go out as a woman, like let's say at night, and go to Four Corners or Cypress and Hilltop, the Four Corners there, if I were to stop and get gas, compared to in Los Angeles by myself. There is an element of public awareness. I feel like there's not a stigma, it's too cliche, but there's this wanting to ignore that it's here, as if everyone's supposed to ignore that it actually is present, instead of awareness and education and understanding what the county and the city is doing. Overall, for most people who live here, there's just this shrug that shouldn't exist.
Well, I think a lot of it is, there is, as you just mentioned, there's discretionary spending and there's mandatory spending. The problem we have right now is 87% of the money that we send in, when we get it back, is mandated by the state on what we can do with it. So a lot of the programs we have, most of them, unless we can get them state funded, but most, and if they're not delegated with that 87%, then we have to get a grant. But with 13% for fire and for police, that makes it a little more difficult. So what would be a priority in spending that money for you as far as you were just talking about safety? What would be your priority right there?
To allocate money and make sure that people aren't not getting the mental health help that they need and not getting the in and out of the jail that happens, because
AB 109,
it's a big problem. And although funds are allocated, I don't know that, and it could be just for lack of understanding on my part to this point, which is something that I'm really interested in knowing, is where the audits of how the money is being utilized. So working in different companies over the time of the last, not the last 10 years because I've been a stay-at-home mom, but before that, working for companies where there's an audit of how the office is even operating. So those funds that are given and those funds that are spent show me how it was walked out and what it actually provided. And so when that's not done, how do you know that continuing to take those same amount of funds, even if it's allocated and decided the arena, like the funnel that it can be used for, what is the outcome? You usually don't hear that part.
You're right, and what you're saying is you want a forensic audit.
Right.
Yes.
So, again, I've been shouting this from rooftops for years, forensic audit on everything. And how can you go in as a new board member, say you get elected in the position? Guess what? You're a new board member. How do you go in and know what you're dealing with unless you do have a forensic audit so that you can see, you know, it's tangible. You know how much money was spent. You know where the money went. And you know who's responsible for the money spent.
It should never be something that is turned away or ignored at all.
Exactly.
At all.
It has been for years and years, though.
Yeah.
And that's
and
the problem.
I feel like because of the last 2 years of consciousness being raised for a lot of different issues that have happened, the election itself in 2020 was enough to make enough people turn their head and kind of wonder what is happening and why things are the way they are. And then, you know, shortly overlapping that was COVID. And it took a lot of people a lot of time, I think. So even if people weren't skeptical in the beginning,
right,
over time they became skeptical. And then they started to wonder why. Show me why. Show me how.
Yep.
And it's very important and it's very good.
Yes.
I have this awareness or philosophy, I guess you could say, of this whole scope. And a lot of people are angry. I don't have an anger. I feel like it's, I guess because I'm a woman and I've had kids, and it's kind of like a birthing. And so, like, you grow this child and you grow this thing that needs to be created, it has a place, mm-hmm. and it has a reason, and it has a purpose to be walked out once it arrives. Right. It's painful for it to arrive. So what we've just gone through is part of that pain, and a lot of people were confused and angry, and I look at it like a necessary transformation. So although we don't like it, and although there's a lot of ugly parts and a lot of things rising to the top, it's being revealed. Right. So in that sense, I will celebrate that. And we don't have to like it. We can look at for solutions for those things, and I think that that's something to celebrate, is that now that more people are aware, they're not going to just be annoyed by the people who are calling out, saying this has to be different.
Right, right.
So I think that the city and the county, while they feel maybe like they're having opposition, they will see that if they get proper leadership, they have so much support. What people perceive as opposition, in the sense of saying, be more honest, show me what you're doing, tell me why you're doing it, and prove it. That is support.
Yes.
And I think specifics is really what a lot of people are after now. I think that COVID, to a degree, well, might be an odd sort of blessing by God, because it made a lot of people wake up.
Yes.
And when you look at what's going on, a lot of people are looking for specific answers, like a forensic audit, like a zero-based balanced budget, to where you start at zero, not with money that you had left over from last year. Those kinds of things, I think, are specifics that people are now becoming aware of. And to me, I know that we've been fighting a fight for liberty for quite some time, but to see young people like yourself and people come forward and actually look for specific ways, real problem-solving solutions, I think that's what people are looking for. So if you had one particular problem that you see in Shasta County, what would it be, and how would you solve the problem?
I would say I would have to start with the management of how it's run, because no other plan, no other arena can be handled unless you have those things answered for. So if you're executing any job, you have to have everything squared from the top. And so things like that, of zeroing a budget and things like an audit, you cannot expect people to be responsible for themselves. We've learned. So to expect someone to answer for themselves in hindsight has to go away. That, to me, is number one, is the way that things are conducted. Because if I say homelessness and mental health, so if Health and Human Services is being managed by the way that the budget goes to them in the county, but then the board is not exercising any oversight whatsoever, and they just push through paper over and over and over again, no change will come, because there's no accountability to say, we have to see how you've spent, you know, irresponsibly, so the funds are not going to come. Let's see what you do over the next year, and right. We'll reallocate what you're allowed in the next year if you handle what you have responsibly. Nothing can come until that is changed.
So a forensic audit and then a monitoring of the staff. That's a really good point. When you have a situation like a staff that maybe is doing things that are highly irregular, I know that key card gate will be something I'm sure that will be brought up.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
When Matt Pontes absolutely disabled the key cards of of two of the supervisors, which is way out of his jurisdiction. He doesn't have the authority or power to do that. Those kinds of things. If you were to be elected, would you go in and talk to each department, talk to your staff members, and kind of get a feel of where they are?
Absolutely. There can't be a separation of the way that they function and understanding I don't know, acting completely alone or if you're complicit is a problem. And so to answer to the people why something like that would be done, and then someone who is a coworker of someone who would do that, you also answer. Were you aware that it was being done? Because were you ignoring it or were you consenting to it? Mm-hmm. Did you advise them?
Or were you pressured into it because you want to keep your job?
Or so, silence or
whichever. Yeah, silence,
whichever.
Yeah. Because I'm sure things like that have happened. It has to happen.
Yeah.
It absolutely has to happen when you have bureaucrats, the unelected officials of our county, which are bureaucrats, and when they're in the power of doing what they're doing and manipulating things all the way through the process, they do that. They'll put pressure on their on some of their fellow peers and or especially the subordinates. And when that happens, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
On every level. It doesn't matter what position, what department within the county, that's unacceptable behavior. And to me, that's a terminable offense.
Absolutely.
So we have to look at those things, and that's where a forensic audit comes into play.
It's also
tells you the story.
It's also why I another reason why I'm running, because things like that, I think it, as you said, it could be difficult if you feel pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked in jobs where there is a lot of pressure, and there are things that you're aware of that are happening that are against the law.
Right.
Or that just ethically are wrong. And I've been the only one standing saying, stop.
Yep.
Do not do that.
Yep.
You will be reported.
Yeah.
And it's not fun. It's not easy either.
It's not fun and easy to do the right thing sometimes,
what,
is it?
Not whatsoever. Yeah. I worked in pharmacy when I was out of high school. I was a pharmacy technician. That was my first, like, real job, right? Although I'd worked jobs other than that. But that was my job to get into things that really interested me after high school. So there was, in Rayleigh's Pharmacy, how it's grocery slash drug department slash pharmacy, because you have all of those things working together,
yep,
in a sense, in the same building. And they would use drug clerks to just be a clerk in the front of the pharmacy, which the laws that allow for what you can do, depending on who is in what position, a drug clerk cannot change a prescription.
Right.
A pharmacy technician cannot change a prescription. A pharmacist cannot change a prescription.
That's the doctor, isn't it?
Absolutely. Okay. Only the doctor. So, and you also cannot run insurance and bill something before you have the medication prescribed. Or you can't change certain things or set in place for a certain reason. So once I worked with a gentleman who, he did it because he's trying to make the client happy, the customer.
Customer, yeah.
And I overheard him, and I turned around, and I assumed for his doubt, benefit of the doubt, he was ignorant. So I turned around, and I went next to him, and I said, you cannot run a prescription for, or you cannot run insurance for a prescription you do not have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he told me, mind my own business.
Wow.
So, go ahead.
We do have a caller on the line.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. We need to have like a flag or something here,
sure,
for that. Anyway, George, what say you? Do you have a question for Valerie?
I was going to ask Valerie if she supports
Kimberly.
Jefferson split.
Okay, this is Stephen King. Can you, Ashley, can you eliminate that call, please? Thank you so much, Ashley.
So I'll just continue what I was telling you?
Yes.
So the line of correcting someone when they know that they're wrong, it really starts within the individual. And so what I've watched over the COVID situation, and even things that when you watch right now what's happening, because Tim hasn't been put into his position, is a 2-2 split.
Yes.
And it's catastrophic to me to watch that when you're representing the people and you look at something that you know that can benefit the people, but because you don't like the person that you work with,
right,
you are in opposition solely on the one person.
Yep.
And it's the same thing when I worked with him violating the law, running insurances is not. He's thinking of the one person as he's going to get favor, but I'm like, you lack character and integrity. That is wrong. Period. You're doing fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And so undo the fraud.
Yeah.
And then we can have a conversation with our boss so that you now, from here on forward, will not be ignorant, you know?
Yes.
Like, it just the principle of there is black and white sometimes, and there is right and wrong sometimes. So to me, you hold the line, and you don't change that based on you thinking that you have favor in front of your face.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. It's all about character and morality and doing the right thing. When nobody's looking and when everybody's looking, you do the right thing. Yeah.
Now, you were talking about the budget, and it was interesting how you were saying that obviously you would think that it would take some time to look over the budget. How would you proceed in with the board, and what would you do as far as getting a good extensive look at the budget, and how much time would you allocate for that?
I was looking at this chart last night, actually, of the period of time on the calendar where they work out the budget, and it's such a huge period of time actually throughout the year. I think that each section of it, as they're working out that system, because they have that, you know, from June to May, and then going on each section that they do. I think that it would be different depending on what's going through the budget. There's so many changes coming through those mandatory spendings that are coming through the state. And the one that I was looking at last night in particular was the housing stuff. And so each time that they have to apply and be on application and hit deadlines and stuff, I think it would just depend on what was coming through. I can't really say ahead, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and again, I like the way you're sort of taking charge in the way of saying, okay, well, as a supervisor, the buck stops there. You know, it's the people who are employees of the county. They're actually under your jurisdiction. So, again, where do you think that in the county you can make the biggest effect? What can you bring to the table that the other candidates can't? What would be your strongest point?
I think that I have always looked at the community as a whole functioning movement, and a lot of what I've seen is management of the people instead of working with the people. That people get elected, and although they might have a mind to contribute to the county or contribute to the city, contribute to these entities in financial ways, I don't see a lot of participation to where you don't hear as a voter that is continued, that they're working together. And you don't see opportunities to hear from them other than from the podium. And I think that needs to go away. We are in a time where people need to actually feel heard and represented. 45 minutes is a very short period of time. And it's very dismissive. And I think that in order to reconcile community here, we need supervisors and we need city council members and other people to manage less and hear from the people and actually have that conversation and then walk it out and demonstrate it. It hasn't been done yet.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that we're off of the 45-minute, 3-minute. I think that they sort of walked away from that one. But, yeah, I mean, how would you feel about having an evening meeting at least a couple a month or at least once a month so that folks that work can get there? What would you do about that?
I think it should be done. Once at minimum. I'm a night owl, so. You tell me I can come in later and work later. Yes is the answer. No. It's that simple. I've had situations where I have compassion for that because my husband works nights and he works weekends sometimes. And when you have any kind of job that doesn't fit in that 8-to-5 scope, or you are working in that 8-to-5, the world goes on, and it's really like, how do you go to the doctor? How do you see a dentist?
Sure.
How is your voice heard?
Sure.
How do you utilize those systems that are mm-hmm. set in place when you are working to sustain your livelihood, to contribute to the economy, to be a good citizen? I think that evening meetings should have never been an issue. I cannot fathom why that would be. If you have even 5 people saying, and so it doesn't have to be necessarily, that's what I'm saying. If it was within my district and my constituents are saying, you are not hearing me, my husband would like to speak to you, then I could even set up, I will be here, I will be at this coffee shop, I will be at this place, you will have an opportunity to talk to me. It will be from this time to this time, it's set in place. Come meet and talk to me.
Well, I know in the 80s they did have quite a few evening meetings. A lot of them started at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, which is also helpful if you work.
Yeah.
So that was the last time they had evening meetings?
In the 80s?
As a regular time?
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. Wow.
Anyway, that's amazing. What we're going to do here, Ashley, is we're going to go off to our first break here so we can give the rest of the program to Kimberly. So with that, folks, we're here with Kimberly Vollmers.
There you go.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen. We'll be right back.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Man just got here. How are you, buddy?
Travis. Travis is a good guy.
Say hello.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Now we have two producers.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh,
we're in trouble now.
We do have a caller on the line. We have Dolores on the line. Dolores, what say you?
Good morning, Dolores.
Yes, good morning. I have a question for, I think you said her name is Kim?
Kimberly.
Kimberly.
Yep.
Kimberly. Okay, great. I was wondering, I have two questions. If you had a conflict, if let's say if you got elected to be on the Board of Supervisors, if you had a conflict in any issues that comes up on the agenda, will you recuse yourself? And also, do you have any members of in your family working for the county now?
I will answer your questions in reverse order. I do not have any families working for the county right now. And if I had a conflict, can you give me an example of what you would feel a conflict would be?
Well, conflict meaning, like I said, they need to rezone, the map, a map issue. And if you had a business in that area, in the map zone, would you recuse yourself? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. I think depending on the conflict, if I felt like it would make it to where people would not believe my character, that it was for the good of the county overall, then yes.
Well, because there's different kinds of conflict. Conflict
right.
of interest and conflict if you have any, you will benefit from being sitting on the board to
right.
make any decisions.
Right.
So you will recuse yourself.
Yes,
right?
I think that it's the right thing to do.
You would disclose that you will have a conflict, correct?
Yes. I think that a lot of distrust is in our county and our city because of things like you're mentioning.
Right.
There's a lot of people who wonder about the intentions of those running for city and for county positions, because are they doing it for the good of the people and being a voice of the people, or are they doing it to gain for their personal gain? It's a real motivation actually for me running, because I feel that there's been a lot of years, decades here, where people have run for their own benefit, and the fallout is if they can do some good also.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for
yeah.
that.
Thank you for your question.
Okay.
That was a good question, you know, because we've witnessed things happening on the Board of Supervisors where you know there's a conflict, yet they do what they do. They mm-hmm. just march right through it like everybody's ignorant,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the way they treat, you know, their bosses, who is the elected or the constituency. That we're their bosses. They forget it. It's a pyramid, but the pyramid's upside down.
Yeah.
It's the body of the people down to the Board of Supervisors, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they operate in the reverse.
I think that there's a lot of people who work for different entities in the county who serve the public, who they have the right thing in their heart and they have the right thing in their mind. And there's a lot of administrators of those facilities that they're doing the right thing by the people, but they are being managed.
Yes.
So to me, the reason why I literally stood up in my kitchen, I was washing dishes, my husband came home with the girls bringing home groceries, and I started unpacking the groceries and putting them away, and I thought, this is not what I want. Like, I'm tired of it being the same.
Right.
It is the same all the time when I go to vote, although how passionate I am about how important voting is. No matter what happens in the arena of what they're doing with our vote, I think of it the same way as tithing in church. Yep. It is a commandment that I feel that I get to remove myself once I've done my part. Although I think it should be fair and just, I'm not going to remove myself and accuse of unfair and unjust. I think that participating continuously is super important.
Absolutely.
And so as I feel convicted and justified to make sure that I participate civically and vote, I felt I don't have a vote. It's removing my vote. And so I think that how many people I talk to in the community, and I have a group on Facebook of a lot of mothers, and how much when the election cycle comes, how everybody discusses the candidates, everybody's discussing the issues. And people, every election cycle, I kid you not, for years write me and say, who should I vote for?
Mm-hmm.
Because another issue, obviously, we know is people not paying attention to the issues until voting day. And it's just not enough. And I think that it's important for people to want to know. But if they don't believe you that you care, they will turn it off and stop paying attention entirely.
We have a couple of questions from the chat room. One of them is a caller wants to know, and you were just talking about being represented. You were just talking about your vote not counting, which a lot of people feel that way.
Right.
How do you feel about creating better apportionment? In other words, creating a situation for the Assembly and the Senate to where they actually can represent the people, not a senator trying to represent a million people or an assemblyman trying to represent 500,000. So the state of Jefferson or several states in California to make it to where that's more feasible, what do you feel about representation and how would you change that?
I think that, like, as a voter, and if it came across my table as a supervisor, if there's things we can enact locally, I think I would absolutely be for it, because if you don't have representation, that's where people start managing and people start making decisions on behalf of the people that maybe don't serve the people and serve a very small number of the people.
Or they're not elected.
Yeah.
Or they're not elected,
yeah.
And we're having a lot of that. But,
yeah.
For example, you know, Brian Daly is our senator and Megan Daly is our assemblyperson. They're married. And it's kind of like, I wonder if, and the scuttlebutt has it that their son's being groomed. So you have a situation where, as you said before, you know, people who we elect should be representing their constituents. But how do you do that in a venue where you have so many constituents, you're confined to one particular little area? I mean, that's the issue. So I think that was the question that about the state of Jefferson. And frankly, I believe we should have three or four states in California.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way you're going to break up representation.
Because we watched as COVID highlighted for so many people. Anyone who was not aware of it before suddenly became aware of
mm-hmm.
it. Because of how differently we should operate here versus how we operate down there.
Yeah.
And it is catastrophic to see. And it's so hard for me to watch even although they also are not having probably their voices heard because there will be parents there who don't want their children masked in school.
Sure. Right.
There would be people who didn't want a mask or have to be vaccinated to go to work. Their voices also were not being heard during a lot of the things that were happening. But catastrophically, they vote for that representation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So in the sense of that, it's tragic to watch, and you hope that they'll start voting differently.
Well, a lot of it's limited. That's the problem. I mean, sort of like, you know, I think that, frankly, with some candidates we have out there, we'd rather vote for a lamppost and pants. So, anyway, we do have another caller on the line. Nick, do you have a question for Kimberly?
I do have a question for Kimberly. I'm wondering how you feel about building a jail and getting the criminals off the street and maybe turning the rehab and those services over to the social services rather than trying to do it through a judicial process, which doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that in Shasta County for a very long time, there's been no adequate mental health because they continue to try to combine it with the jail.
Exactly.
Oh, and you can't combine the two.
Right, good answer. So you'd be in favor of maybe a one-story jail on the outskirts of town for sentenced criminals and letting Donnell Ewert maybe run the wing for the rehab people? Teasing you. I'm not a fan of Donnell. Hey, thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, Nick.
We have another question, and that's from Lori. She wants to know how many Board of Supervisors meetings you've attended.
Virtual, many. In person, probably 5 because I have small kids and I did not, you know, during 2020 when we saw all of the rioting and all of the stuff during the election cycle, as a mother, I had gone to the Capitol with my kids before that for protests and different things before COVID even was a thing. And it became a safety concern of mine.
Right, right.
And I don't think that the assurance that one person may have within them that they're safe and they're fine. There are a lot of very angry people in how things have been handled, regardless of the push for truth and regardless of the push for change and people feeling very secure in going to have their voice heard, which is all really important to me. And I did not feel that it was safe to take my kids week after week because of the way people have been spoken to. I have friends that were there every single week, and some of them had their children and some of them just by themselves, and the way that they were spoken to, I did not want my kids exposed. So because my husband works out of town, he's gone literally all week, every week, because he's a traffic foreman and he goes all throughout the state. And this last year he worked in Oregon for like 3 or 4 months also straight. So being that I am alone, I did not feel that it was responsible for me to show up with my kids because there's so much unknown.
Especially since you have 4.
Yeah.
I mean, not just even having just one, but having 4,
yeah.
I mean, it quadruples the safety issue for you. Yeah.
And then last year I was pregnant, and then my toddler, you know, she's just go, go, go. So to me to chase after her, and then, yeah, I have a almost 8-month-old baby.
Yeah, so you're busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So another question that had been posed is, what was your take on the recall?
Such a deep question. So I voted yes on the recall. I'll just solidify and, like, consolidate my answer. I voted yes on the recall, and I voted Modi out because I think that regardless of if I have an – I don't have an emotional response to him, but I feel like I had a civic duty because – that would be the best outcome for the people. Because if he has done things that are lacking character or disrespecting the public, they should be held accountable for the way that they treat people.
And breaking the law.
And breaking the law. So overall, I felt like it was the duty of every person to give the opportunity to say, if you want him gone and have better representation, that is the way that the system is set up. It's set up that way for a reason. And so I felt like it was the people deserved it for the work that they did.
Well, you do know that California is one of the few states that has the recall process, right? I mean, say Georgia, for example. If they want to recall a representative of any capacity down there, they can't do it.
A local representative.
Local, right. Yeah, they can't do it because they don't have the system in place. Their founders of their state and the legislators, either if they had it, they got rid of it, or if they've never had it, they haven't put it in place. California, we've been blessed to have that. I mean, as far as all the troubles that we have with California, that is one of the good things that we have in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're actually able to use it. Well, you know, now we're getting wind that they may want to change that.
I bet they do.
The legislators
are saying, wait, mm-hmm. this red county in the north state did this, and then, lo and behold, the bluest county of the entire state, San Francisco County, they had school board members recalled. Within 7 to 10 days, those two things happen. So here they're going to shoot barbs at us, and then they're, oh, wait a minute, somebody else is doing it that's on our team down here. You know, so it kind of muffled it out a little bit so that we didn't get such criticism for using the process.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it legally, we did it morally and ethically, and the people from our county that put that together, again, were moms, and they went through a little bit of hell to get that mm-hmm. done. And they were lied about. They were lied to. They were manipulated. They were all kinds of things for that just to do that part of the process. And so they hung in there. They knew they had support. They had all of us behind them doing that, doing what we could to help them to do that. And that's what it took. And, you know, by gosh, by golly, they persevered. And they did a great job. And now we have the result of the recall being done in place by the voters of District 2, and it went through the process. So there's nobody to blame for anything bad happening because nothing bad of this came out of it. It's been good, and it's exposed our local officials and even the state to a point, but it certainly has exposed the local officials. And you find out who those people are supported by. And, you know, then you have an idea whether you want to patronize those businesses anymore.
Absolutely.
So all those things come out, and they're being exposed left, right, and center. So it's really good.
Yeah.
So it's been a very good thing, and it's a process that we can use and may use again, you know, if the opportunity presents itself. So who knows what's going to happen.
Without things like that being present and a person knowing that they can be removed if they're not serving adequately, I think that where are the checks and balances? And mm-hmm. I have friends on the whole spectrum, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are people that I know that are, like, they think that it's unfair and it was unjust and it is divisive and all of these things that are complete opposite of the people running the recall, who know that the outcomes that they want are for the people, and it's very just to follow the system mm-hmm. adequately and fairly.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it were so unjust and the people felt that he was doing adequately, there would have been no recall.
Well, not only that, but 12% said yes. 12% more said yes. That's a landslide.
Double
digits. You normally don't see that. So obviously the will of the people was carried out. And also the amount of people that came out for that special election, there were, we had more that came out in the last midterm election in the district. So talking about District 1, which you're running for, what is the main issue you can see in District 1 in your district that you would want to address?
When I drive through, okay, so I live on the east side of District 1, and obviously to come over here to the west side of District 1, and you see the homelessness, you can't not see it. And it's easy to say homelessness, and people think that it's just something that makes them uncomfortable to see.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many contributing factors to what leads those people here from other places, what leads them to hardship potentially. And the solutions to that, I think, are not something that I can just have the answer. I would have to be working with the departments that there are so many elements that mm-hmm. contribute to that and mm-hmm. that could remedy that
mm-hmm.
that I haven't seen an inner web of the departments to work together. So like the Children's Legacy Center that has gone in mm-hmm. in the last year and a half or so,
mm-hmm.
The way that they're using different departments, and it's funded privately to execute it through a nonprofit, although those departments are an integral part of its functioning. And so a lot of times when the county is going, we don't have any money, we don't have any money for that, we're using all the money we have for that, and you're like, but there's no resolve. Where is the resolve? So when you look at, there are departments, but then there are also, you can reach out into the community and ask people. I have yet to ever see in my lifetime living here
until the Children's Legacy Center, of something where a nonprofit, which there are so many people in this county who care, to where where's the call to say we need someone to step forward and execute a solution that works with the county departments together, but this is not going to be funded through the county. But we are going to support you. Let's meet together on a regular basis to see how we can resolve and get it until it's actually resolved to the maximum capacity. Because some people, that is the lifestyle that they choose to live. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that you can't constantly revolve people who that is how they're choosing to live. So if they're choosing to live that way, how do we keep the city clean? How do we keep it safe? Because the transient population is intermingled with so many different layers of people who have mental illness, who have drug addiction, who have adverse like life events going on, and some people who are running because they're a criminal.
Right.
So to discern those differences takes many county parts that don't seem to be working together. They seem to be operating within their scope. And then when you say, how come you're not accountable, they look over their shoulder and tell you there's some other authority. And I just don't agree with that.
You know, I've got to bring an update on the website stream. Most of the website's gone at this point, and they are expecting to have it up by 11 o'clock. Again, if you're listening to this program on the radio, share it with your friends. Kimberly, you can make sure people will be able to hear the podcast on this.
Okay.
So that'll be fine. We just had a lot of problems. I had problems with my computer.
The archive, because we don't.
And
have
the archive, that's right.
Because we don't have a podcast here. It's an archive. Yeah.
What time is it? Okay. There is another question. Why would I vote for Kimberly Vollmers over the other two candidates that are running? What would Kimberly bring to the table that she thinks she can that can make the difference?
I think that although all three of us may have an interest in being a voice for the people to a certain capacity, I think that I stand in the gap to where my only function is freedom. My only function is the voice of the people. I do not run a business that will be benefiting or losing, depending on the functionalities mm-hmm. of the county or the city. I run a family. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, I believe that there are thousands of people here who do not actually have representation. No matter that my opponents, while good people and wanting to do things to make change in their community, they already have their hand in aspects of how they're doing that and walking it out in the private sector. And I think that a lot of times you watch people who cross both things in their interests and their intention, while good, is more easy to be swayed when they have pressure from their peers. So when we have watched in the city and in the county the pressure from the peers that changes the vote, mm-hmm. which it's like watching them, you see their body language, and they are speaking disagreements with themselves.
Yeah.
Because they're speaking over their peers, and they're not speaking for the people. There's a different body language. There's a bit different conduct. And when I stood in my kitchen and decided to run, is because I know that I'm called to stand in the gap, because I speak to so many people who don't vote because they don't trust people here. They vote and they don't really care right after that. They're like, yeah, whatever, I fill in the bubble and just try to make the best decision. But they really don't understand the impact that this role makes for the city and the county. And we've watched that play out, where people have bowed to their peers over speaking for the people. And I will not quit to where I will speak for the people every single time. Every single time. Because my kids are growing up here. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when you look at and you have a short-sighted perspective of what you have to gain or what you think that your peers want you to execute in the city, I have a long lens on this because my kids are here. Mm-hmm. And I think of the decisions that are made here, and I look at five-year projections of what they do in the budget, and I'm like, they're acting like money falls from the sky.
Yeah, no kidding.
It does not fall from the sky. And if I want to be able to believe that I can buy land here and I can have people come and see what life is like here, like it was for me when I was growing up, as it's being whittled away, I think that the voice of the people has been silenced for far too long.
Agreed.
Would you be willing to do a debate, not a forum, but would you be willing to do a debate with
yes.
your... Okay. So Kevin Cry and yourself are both willing. We haven't heard from Aaron Reznor yet, but, you know, I think that that's something we need here is for candidates really to have a debate.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of times with forums you get asked some sort of either softball question or a question that, you know, can be answered with platitudes.
Right.
You know, and I appreciate you today a lot, Kimberly, because you're speaking from things that are solid. You know, it's good stuff. So anyway, how can people get a hold of you? And do you have a website, Facebook page, et cetera?
Yeah, I do have a Facebook page and a website. My website is Balmers2022.com, and there's a link to the Facebook page on there. It's Kimberly, I believe, for District 1 Supervisor. I don't recall what I called it. That's kind of funny. But you can find the website easier, Balmers2022.com, and there's a Facebook link on there. Yep.
Okay. And you can repeat that again real slow so people can
sure.
Can write it down.
And also I'll spell it. It's VOLLMERS 2022.com. And I actually have an event where people can come,
oh.
a fundraiser event at the Rusty Nail on March 4th.
Oh, nice.
From 4 to 7. And it's just like a beer pouring event just so that I can meet people. And you don't have to donate money. He actually is going to give proceeds to... so you just buy a beer and come and hang out and chat with me and we can ask questions.
Can you buy more than one beer?
You may. You may. I will not manage you.
So that's at the Rusty Nail?
Yeah, at the okay. Rusty Nail.
Rusty Nail from 4 to 7 on
March 4th.
Oh, yeah. Command Day.
Yeah.
March 4th, Command Day.
He was really impacted by the lockdown situation, and you know, a lot of businesses here were obviously all over the state and all over the country, but I've known the owner of the Nail. He's a Marine, and
nice.
his family has owned the bar for I believe like 38 or 40 years, something
wow.
like that, and he considered closing it because if they continue to go into the second lockdown, because he has to pay an insane lease just for the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that not everybody wanted to be in debt to the government and take a loan out when,
yeah.
You know, what? Back then when that was happening, it was disgusting. But then also I thought when people are enslaved and when there's times of war, the ones who are doing the wrong come back and tell you they're going to liberate you.
Yeah.
And only so many people had the consciousness to say no thank you or even the wherewithal to say no thank you because he had to pay like over $30,000 a month or something.
Wow.
That's it's crazy. Just insane. So to me, when people look at it like, oh, well, lucky you, like you can open, but then you have to tell your customers they have to wear a mask and you can open, but this and you can open, but that. And I'm like, oh, thank you for the liberation, but you should have never taken away my freedom in the first place. Like,
there you go.
You're enslaving people, you know, psychologically in other ways. So
I've never found a way to drink a beer through a mask. Just can't do it.
That's heavily filtered that way.
It is. You have 2 minutes left, so bring us home.
Oh, well, I am so thrilled to actually be meeting people in the county. That's probably the number one thing that I've gotten to do, where before when my focus was my family and my smaller community of homeschooling moms and mothers, that I watched go through a lot of isolation because of COVID, my passion became families and motherhood so that the children didn't experience negative impact as much as possible to preserve childhood and to kind of elevate family. And I think that in this community, as long as we keep a hold on that those founding things really truly matter, that the way that you impact the family is what is in the long term going to affect the next generations that live here and grow up here and preserve everything that we have that I got to grow up with. And so I think that if we watch for people who have that voice and have that integrity, then we will be led into something very positive in the future here.
Okay.
Very well.
Kimberly Balmers, District 1.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
You don't know us. You have no clue. And still you're telling us what to do. We don't know you or what
time to start a brand new state.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.